This is Dave Gloetz of MrRadio.org. I'm speaking with Ben Jarofsky, who writes a weekly column for the Chicago Reader called The Works. Ben's column on February 14th, 2008 is titled The Mayor in the Mirror, and he's here with me today to tell the rest of the story. Ben, the last time we talked, you said that you had to go and rewrite this article. Why did you have to rewrite it?
I was doing one story, and then the mayor had a press conference to announce he wanted to change the assessments. And when I heard that press conference, I saw the news about it. That's when I had to change my story ideas.
A different story.
Yeah, different story.
Because you couldn't let this one go by.
No, absolutely not. Could not let this one go by.
Well, let me tell you about a conversation I had with a friend of mine. She's a housing advocate. She thinks that Chicago's downtown used to be a place relatively unattractive to Chicagoans outside of business hours and unattractive to tourists in general. And she thinks that the recent development of downtown, which lots of people believe has been hugely successful, would not have happened on its own. In other words, if the city had not found creative ways like tax increment financing to fund development, the Loop would still just be another aging, uninviting, no man's land on evenings and weekends. What do you think of that perspective?
No offense to your friend, the housing activist. It is not the first time I've heard this. On one hand, I'm a little disappointed that a housing activist would be saying this. And on the other hand, it misses the fundamental point. And the fundamental point of all these articles that I've been writing down through the years about not just the device called TIF, but the whole game of economic development, is not that every single TIF deal is a bad deal, because there's many things in the universe that I want funded and I think need to be funded. Furthermore, I'm sort of an old-fashioned New Deal Democrat who believes that government has a role in helping jumpstart development and promote investment in poor communities.
So she has a point.
Yeah, well, the larger point about the TIF program is that the way it's structured, it's so wasteful, it's so inefficient, it's so open to corruption, it's so misleading that whatever gains this or that TIF deal promote are outweighed by the enormous deficiencies in the program. So I think it has to be scrapped. If the city wants to promote downtown development, there's far more efficient and cost-effective ways of doing it. You specify which buildings you want to subsidize. You put your case out there. You are as open as you possibly can be. And then you borrow the money and you put it, the bond repayment, in your budget so everybody can see it. It's the old-fashioned way of doing things. It's how Harold Washington did it.
So bonding, essentially, is a way to do this sort of thing.
TIF basically are bonding. You borrow money and you pay it back with today's tax revenues. There's nothing new about the concept of borrowing to promote development. That's been going on forever. It's that they create this off-the-books, ceaseless flow of property tax dollars that go into accounts that are controlled by the mayor. That's something that the mayor has devised in the last 10 years. And I'm a little disappointed that housing activists would say, yeah, but this one particular TIF deal was good, or this particular TIF deal was good, because overall, it's going to drive their constituents out of the city. It works against their best interests. And that's what I keep telling housing activists. You know, just because you get a TIF subsidy from the city and you're sort of included in the game, you shouldn't turn your head to the overall impact this program has on the constituents you say you want to serve. By using the property tax, by straining the property tax, we're driving the poor and the working class out of Chicago. So that's the main number one problem that TIFs create for affordable housing activists. And I see them, they're really in a bind, and I can appreciate it. It's the only game in town. Mayor Daley's really rigged the game. They have no choice but to play along and to pretend as though all these inefficiencies that I've been describing all these years don't exist. Now, in terms of Loop development, the biggest TIF development in the downtown, of course, is the Block 37 deal, and that's a complete fiasco, and it's ongoing. There was a perfectly functioning group of buildings on the block of State Street at Randolph and Washington that were generating tax dollars, that there was a demand, and they were meeting that demand. Actually, it precedes Harold Washington, if you want to know. It goes back to old man Daley, who decided, like your housing activist friend, that we needed to clean up the Loop. So Harold Washington, picking up from where the first Mayor Daley left off, decided that they were going to scrape clean the buildings on State Street at Washington and Randolph, and then replace them with some sort of high-rise glitziness.
When you mean say scrape clean, you mean tear them down?
Yeah, buy them up from the people who own them, using the city's power of eminent domain, evicting all the tenants who were there, and then tearing down the buildings, and then building high-rise structure on the site. Well, it's just been good money thrown after good money thrown after good money as one scheme over another fell apart.
What do you mean fell apart?
They thought they had deals, and the companies who said they were going to come in, I mean, over the years, I remember Harrods was going to come in there and various condominium projects. They fell apart for lack of funding, lack of interest. I think a compelling problem was that once the city government got hooked into the project and made it clear that they were desperate to build this site, developers wanted to put less and less of their money into it and get more and more from the government. Now we're building something there. I would argue from an economic development standpoint that the cost to the city of Chicago in losing those tax dollars that could have gone to the schools, the parks, is a hefty price to pay for whatever comes there. We're effectively subsidizing to move one business from one part of the city to another part of the city. So overall, I don't know what we're benefiting by. WBBM-TV is moving from McClure Court to the downtown. So what are we getting out of that? You know, Morningstar Publications is moving downtown from some other place downtown. What are we getting out of that? We basically created a problem when we knocked down the buildings, and now we're trying to fix the problem by moving from other parts.
And in the meantime, that property sat vacant for 15 years?
Oh, 20 years. We've lost in two ways. We lost because it's not generating the property taxes that it would have been generating had we just left it alone. And we lost because we keep throwing property tax dollars at various failing projects without success. So we're spending money and not receiving money. And when it's all over, I'm sure there'll be a press conference, and at the very least Channel 2, WBBM, will hail it as the greatest economic development scheme in the history of man. And nobody will realize that two generations of school children lost out because they didn't get the money from the property taxes. Obviously, there's far more effective ways of funding that kind of loan than a TIF program.
Bonding seems to be the obvious one. And one of the fundamental differences between funding something through tax increment financing and a bond. In a bond, you are borrowing money from people who agree to give the money up front, as opposed to taxpayers don't know that they're paying into tax increment financing districts.
Yeah, see, the problem in Chicago, the Chicago mentality, and this is true, this is housing activists and developers, is that once people figure out the inside game, how it works, all they want to do is take advantage of it.
Where's mine?
Where's mine? And they'll tell me. I've had countless conversations. You know, we can't change the world. We got to play the game by the rules that are made. So I'm just going to go cut my deal.
Have you seen any indication that the aldermen who were elected in 2007 have any independent thinking around tax increment financing?
Slowly they're starting to get it. I was at a meeting the other day talking to a community group about TIFs. And there was an alderman there, Scott Wagesback, of the 32nd Ward. And afterwards, I saw he told a reporter who was at the meeting that he, Wagesback, was going to be very vigilant about TIF proposals that the mayor brought down and that he wouldn't be afraid to speak out and vote against them. I was pretty surprised.
So you'll be keeping an eye, presumably, on Wagesback to see if he follows through.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was encouraged that he said that. I don't think he has any TIFs in his ward. I understand that it's easy for me to say these things. I'm not an elected official, and any of them were to speak up against TIFs, who knows what would happen? I mean, think about it. If I, Alderman Ben, want a TIF, and you, Alderman Dave, vote against it, that may be seen as a personal attack, so I'll vote against your zoning change. Oh my God, we might actually have democracy in the city council, in which each change has to stand on its own merits. Or it could just be political retribution. You could get all your buddies in the council to gang up on me to block my deals. It's a radical rethinking of how we run government, and I don't think anybody in Chicago is ready to make that leap.
Well, on that note, we'll leave it there. Thanks for another informative session on tax increment financing, Ben.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
This is Dave Gloetz. I've been speaking with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.